Galatians chapter 2. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 1. By the works of the law, there is no flesh that will be justified. Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation, and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run, or had run, in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man, for those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." The Apostle Paul says this in verse 1, "Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me." The Bible does not express Paul's going up to Jerusalem as going up to the General Assembly of the early church held in Jerusalem. The Bible does not use such political words. It simply said, "Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me." What this means is that the Apostle Paul, as a missionary to the Gentiles, and with the qualification as an apostle of God, took Barnabas and Titus and went up to the Jerusalem assembly. Titus is a Hellenist. Being a Hellenist means being a Greek person. It means a Gentile, associated with the Greek language in which the New Testament was recorded. Titus is such an important figure that the book of Titus appears in the later part of the Bible. Titus followed the Apostle Paul, was well trained in faith, and later took charge of and served a church. Whenever the Apostle Paul went to a certain church and said, "Go and solve such and such problems," he would go, solve them, and return. So later, he was established as a church minister and was greatly used. The purpose Paul took them up to Jerusalem was to present and testify to the gospel preached to the Gentiles. The early church general assembly was held in Jerusalem, and all the 12 disciples of Jesus, including Peter, James, and John, gathered there. And in the place where all those who shared their hearts with them gathered, the issue of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles was dealt with. Peter also preached the gospel to the Gentiles. When Peter was in a trance, he saw a vision, and a vessel, like a large sheet, came down from heaven. Inside it, it was full of all kinds of unclean things that Jews cannot eat, such as snakes crawling on the ground, pigs, and so on. When Peter firmly refused, God said, "Kill and eat. Do not call unclean what I have made clean." What God symbolically showed was this. The people of Israel were looking down on the Gentiles, considering them as beasts, like dogs or pigs. Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of all mankind, without exception through his flesh and blood, was crucified and died, resurrected, personally appeared, and showed himself to the disciples for 40 days before going up to the kingdom of heaven, and went up to heaven before their eyes. However, the purpose this assembly was held was this. They would acknowledge up to the point that the Gentiles believed in Jesus and received salvation. But it was to decide whether they should receive circumcision or not, and whether they should keep the law or not. If they were to keep the law, originally there are 613 laws and commandments. In there are regulations saying, "Do not eat pork, do not eat what does not have a divided hoof, and do not eat what has a divided hoof, but does not chew the cud. Pigs have a divided hoof, but cannot chew the cud, so they cannot be eaten," and such things were considered unclean. For the Gentiles who believed in Jesus, the things they could not eat would become very numerous, but in reality, the Gentiles were eating them. Titus, who was a Gentile at the time of the early church, was a Greek person. Greek people enjoyed eating pork, and there were many cases where they slaughtered and offered pigs when giving sacrifices. On the other hand, Jews receive circumcision when a baby is born. Because God told Abraham that males should receive circumcision as a token of becoming God's people, Jews receive circumcision 8 days after a male baby is born. Abraham or David in the Old Testament and all the Jews received circumcision. But now that Jesus Christ has come and blotted out and removed our sins with his flesh and blood, the 12 apostles gathered in one place to decide whether the Gentiles who believe in Jesus should practice the law together with the Jewish believers or not. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. The Apostle Paul is telling this story right now. Once you know the background like this, it is much easier to understand the rest of the words. For the Apostle Paul to attend the General Assembly, he had to submit an agenda. "As a missionary to the Gentiles, I want you to handle this issue at this General Assembly." At that time, those leading the General Assembly were apostles like Peter and James, and below them were those acting as clerks and general secretaries. The agenda Paul submitted was this: "I evangelized the Gentiles and brought a person named Titus. Does this person also have to receive circumcision?" Circumcision was the law, but do Gentiles also have to receive circumcision after believing in Jesus? "Please decide this issue at the General Assembly." Paul proposed the agenda like this. As a result of the Apostle Paul having a meeting together with the apostles and the members of the General Assembly there, they reached the conclusion that it is not necessary to receive circumcision. At that time in Jerusalem, the Jews who believed in Jesus were much more numerous than the Gentiles. Because the gospel began to be preached from Jerusalem, the believers from Israel came first, and they formed the majority in the church. As a result, there was a problem in the attitude of the circumcised Jewish believers when treating the newly entering Gentiles. Among the circumcised Jewish brothers, an atmosphere had been formed that considered the Gentile believers as novices and looked down on them. It was for that very reason that Paul submitted this issue as an agenda to the General Assembly. As a result of receiving the agenda at the General Assembly and holding a meeting, they reached the conclusion that there is no need to perform circumcision on the Gentiles. It meant that if one believes in Jesus, there is no need to keep the law of the Old Testament exactly as it is. However, a few items had to be kept, which were that they must not eat the meat of animals killed by hanging, and that they must not neglect the work of helping the poor. Because there were so many people living without property among the people living as a subject state of Rome at the time, they resolved that the church must certainly take care of them and live together. In this way, the decision was made that Gentile believers do not have to be forced to receive circumcision. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. This was a very important declaration that could never be taken lightly. The General Assembly would have been held every year at that time, but Paul attended a total of 5 times. However, since he said that they did not compel circumcision this time, it means that before that, even if Gentiles believed in Jesus, they were forced to receive circumcision. That they did not do so at this General Assembly was the achievement the Apostle Paul obtained by attending the Jerusalem General Assembly. From then on, the Gentiles gained the freedom that even if they believe in Jesus, they do not have to receive circumcision and can eat pork. The entire chapter 2 of Galatians deals with the law, speaking of the gospel that saved us with the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. By the way, what was the reason the Galatian church was troubled at that time? It is recorded like this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. In this world, what would another gospel be other than the gospel of the water and the Spirit? Of course, later, a person named Constantine altered the gospel of the water and the Spirit in the Nicene Creed. But there was no such thing at the time of the early church. If so, what was the different gospel spoken of here? It was that even a person who was saved from their sins must receive circumcision. False brothers who secretly slipped into the church. It is recorded like this in Galatians chapter 2. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Among the Jews, there were many who, putting their power forward, picked quarrels when Gentiles believed in Jesus and entered the church, saying, "Why do you not receive circumcision? Why do you not keep the law?" The Apostle Paul has been speaking about this issue since Galatians chapter 1. They are false brothers. They are those who, while claiming to believe in Jesus, insist on the law, especially circumcision, and preach a false gospel. The reason they secretly entered the church, pretending to believe in Jesus as the Savior, was that they were people who wanted to take away the freedom of the saints enjoyed in the gospel of salvation to gain their own profit. They were those who secretly entered the church and tried to make those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit into tools for their own profit. In the early church, there were so many legalists while claiming to believe in Jesus as the Savior. The Apostle Paul says this, "I am an apostle, appointed by God, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles." On the other hand, to those like Peter, John, and James, he gave the apostolic authority to preach the gospel to the Jews. Thus, they became those sent by God to preach the gospel to the Jews, and I to the Gentiles. He introduced himself like this: "Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?'" Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. The Antioch church was a church where the Apostle Paul pastored together with Barnabas and saved many souls. However, when Peter came to Antioch, there were not many Jews, and there were many Gentiles. Peter was naturally associating and spending time with the Gentiles. But when the Jews came, he avoided the Gentiles he had been with until then. The Apostle Paul witnessed that very scene. Paul thought like this: "At the Jerusalem General Assembly, it was resolved not to force the law upon the Gentiles, but Peter, who led the General Assembly, is playing the hypocrite." So Paul once publicly rebuked Peter in front of everyone: "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?" Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. The Apostle Paul was also a Jew. However, at that time, Rome was ruling Israel, and Paul had Roman citizenship. Also, he was fluent in Greek. This was because Rome used Greek as a common language. Rome absorbed the language, culture, and even religion of the countries it conquered in war and made them its own. Let's look at the word in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." The Apostle Paul, as the Apostle to the Gentiles, says this: "The reason Jesus came to this earth was because of sinners. Are we not originally the descendants of Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve united with the devil and committed the sin of disobeying God's word. The descendants of that Adam inherited sin from Adam, and are those born with sin today." Let's read from Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. "And he said, 'What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man.'" This is the word that what defiles a person is the sin inside the person's heart. It is the word that when a young child is born through their parents, they are already born with 12 kinds of sins. Because they are those born with such sins, the first thing that comes out of a person's heart is evil thoughts. These evil thoughts constantly come out from the heart of a sinner. Therefore, humans originally became beings who commit evil. The Chinese thinker, Mencius, advocated the idea that people are born good. Besides him, another thinker advocated that humans are born with evil. However, God clearly speaks in the Bible. Because people are those born with evil thoughts from birth, he said that everything that appears as they live in the world is evil. Every single thing a human thinks is an evil thought. They always think in a self-centered way and in a direction that rejects the other person. People are originally lewd. If there is even a little leisure in life, it flows into lewd behavior. And people constantly want to steal. They live stealing all their lives. People always live harboring a murderous heart. And there is an adulterous heart. And there is covetousness and wickedness. And they blaspheme, have an evil eye, and are proud and wild. Because all these thoughts of sin are built into a person, whenever there is an opportunity, they come out. Getting drunk, losing one's mind, and causing a disturbance is exactly what wildness is. But would they do that only for that one day? After a little while, they do it again. They repeat such behavior while living their whole lives. People act wildly, are lewd, and deceive. They always deceive, and they deceive professionally. Yet they do not know that they are deceiving. They say, "What I am saying is the truth. It's real. It's genuine." But those words are the devil sitting inside them and using their evil hearts to make them commit sin. Therefore, having to live committing such sins all their lives is the fundamental appearance of humans. They are puzzled even after they themselves have committed a sin. However, when they look back on the footprints of their lives, they realize, "Ah, I did that." But they do not know that they are ones who will commit sin again as they live in the future. That is not visible because they are selfish and self-centered. That is why Jesus spoke. He said that what comes out of a person's heart are evil thoughts, lewdness, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. It is like a coal briquette with 12 holes. Today, a wild, evil heart comes up. When it runs rampant for a while, and then goes right back in, just when you think an evil thought wouldn't come up next, it comes up again. This time, they make a fuss with evil thoughts. Next, lewd thoughts come up from the heart. Because they come up in order like this, a person does not properly know what they have done. But if they look back, they can know. "Ah, I did that." A person who is a descendant of Adam pretends to be good, but there is nothing good. They are all those who live harboring evil thoughts in their hearts, stealing, blaspheming, being lewd, and having murderous hearts. I myself also did not know in the past that I was such a person. I lived thinking I was very righteous and good. But as time passed and I looked back on the traces of my past, there were so many things I did wrong. And through the words of Jesus, I finally came to know that. Because the devil breathed such evil hearts into our hearts and made us unable to believe God's word, not believing God's word itself becomes a sin. Therefore, we are those who live in sin. Humans are a lump of sin from birth. People are divided into two types: sinners and righteous people, that is, people with sin and people without sin. All who are not born again are sinners. They are those who are born with sin and live committing sin. Therefore, we must first know that we are sinners. Why must we believe in Jesus? Because we are sinners. We must believe in the righteousness of Jesus to have our sins removed. Why did God give the law to people? That word of the law was given to teach us what constitutes sin. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. We come to realize our sins through the law. The Ten Commandments are exactly what compressed the 613 articles of the law and extracted its framework. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any image of anything on earth or in heaven. You shall not serve idols. You shall not take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The commandments of do this and do not do this are compressed into exactly 10 things. If we do not hold on to and believe in God who created the heavens and the earth and his written word, but only think according to our own evil thoughts and to our own advantage. That is not a person who believes in God's Word. God's Word must be held on to purely as it is written. God gave us the law, and what the law says is telling all those under the law that they are sinners. It said it is to stop every mouth and bring the whole world under God's judgment. Where there is the law, there is definitely the judgment of sin. You, did you live according to this word? The first commandment, did you not serve other gods besides God? The second commandment, did you not take God's name in vain? The third commandment, did you not make some image other than God and serve it as your God? The fourth commandment, did you keep the Sabbath holy? The fifth commandment, did you truly honor your parents? The sixth commandment, did you not harbor a murderous heart even in your mind? The seventh commandment, did you not commit adultery? Did you not commit adultery, both in your mind and in reality? When examined like this, up to the eighth, ninth, and tenth commandments, one becomes a sinner who has broken them 100%. Then we are all lumps of sin before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there is no one who will be justified before God. By the law, one only comes to the knowledge of sin. In the book of Exodus, when Moses went up Mount Sinai, the Israelites who were waiting for Moses at the bottom of the mountain grew tired of waiting when he did not come down, even after 40 days. They pulled out gold rings and such, put them into the fire, and when they took them out, it became a golden calf. So they served that golden calf as their god. Moses came down, saw that sight, threw the stone tablets of the law to the ground, and cried out, "Whoever is on the side of Jehovah God, come to me." Thus, the people were divided into two. God commanded the descendants of Levi to utterly destroy with the sword those who served the golden calf. And he said of this, "You have served Jehovah." Is it service to kill one's own kinsmen because they did wrong? God saw it that way. However, if you turn just one page of the Old Testament, God calls Moses back up Mount Sinai and shows him the tabernacle, showing him in detail the laver, the altar of burnt offering, and even the length and height. He told him to build the tabernacle for the Israelites. What kind of place is the tabernacle? When the people commit sin, they bring a sacrifice, lay their hands on that sacrifice to pass their sins over, kill the sacrifice instead, and bring the blood and meat to the priest. Then, the priest puts the blood on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and puts the meat on the grate to burn it with fire, and offer it to God, so that the person may receive the removal of sins. It was a place of mercy, where they offered a sacrifice to wash away their sins. God knew that the Israelites would commit sin. It is the same for us. Because all people are descendants of Adam, they had no choice but to commit sin. If one commits sin, one becomes a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and one absolutely had to go to hell as the price of that sin. However, because God loves people, he did not want to leave them like that. So he prepared a sacrifice, established the laying on of hands system and the sacrificial system, and established the sacrificial law to remove the sins of the Israelites. God was this kind of person. God knew that we would commit sin, and he gave us the law to make us realize our own sins. What must we do, having realized our own sins? I live always committing sin, so what should I do? So God himself came to this earth as the Savior, and to save sinners by having their sins transferred to his own body. He was baptized by John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, was crucified, shed blood, and resurrected from the dead, thereby accomplishing the salvation of sinners. The Savior is exactly Jesus Christ. The name Jesus means Savior, and Christ is the one who has three offices: King, High Priest, and Prophet. Jesus Christ desired to be baptized by John the Baptist to save all sinners from sin by coming to this earth and personally executing these three offices. It is recorded like this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. The reason Jesus was baptized by John was to have all the sins of humanity transferred to Jesus' body. Just as the high priest in the Old Testament era passed over a year's worth of sins by laying hands on the sacrifice, in the New Testament era, it was a righteous act for Jesus to be baptized by John the Baptist, have the sins of the world transferred to him, be crucified, and shed blood to pay the price for our sins. By John the Baptist baptizing Jesus on behalf of me and all of you, he became the one who passed over the sins of all of us to Jesus. Jesus, having been baptized by John and taking the sins of the world, was crucified, said, "It is finished." And by resurrecting from that death, he became the Savior who saved those who believe now from all the sins of the world once and for all. By the law, it only makes us realize and know our sins. So the Apostle Paul speaks like this. He says that by the deeds of the law, one cannot receive salvation. Receiving circumcision does not mean receiving salvation, and not eating what the law says not to eat does not mean sins disappear. Jesus Christ speaks to all of us like this. You only need to know that you are a sinner. To remove your sins, I was baptized by John and took the judgment of your sins by being crucified on the cross. The baptism I received, shedding blood on the cross, and resurrecting from death are all for you. If you believe that I became your Savior, you receive salvation. I removed your sins with my flesh and blood. If you believe in what I have done, you receive salvation from all sins. It means he spoke like this. Let us read Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." It means that if you believe in Jesus Christ with your heart and receive the removal of sins, you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. It means God makes it fulfilled according to the promise of the Old Testament word. Therefore, he said that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Let us read Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 to 20. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It means that if you believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth and what he did for our salvation was the baptism he received from John on his body and the blood of the cross, you receive eternal salvation. This salvation is eternal and perfect. If we believe in Jesus' baptism and blood, we become those who have no sin in our hearts. But who are those who become sinners again, even after believing in Jesus? This word is spoken to those in the Galatian church who insisted on circumcision and taught that one must keep the law. That is, one must believe in Jesus, keep the law, and also perform circumcision. What is the purpose for which you and I know and believe in Jesus as the Savior? First is to receive the removal of sins. Were not your hearts and mine full of sin? Do you still not know your own sins? If so, you are still spiritually blind. If you fail to keep even one commandment among the words of the law, it all becomes sin. What you harbor in your heart is sin. What you think is sin. What you act out is sin. And thinking selfishly, only for yourself, is also all sin. Then, what is the price of sin? It is death. The word death means dying, and dying means exactly hell. You must realize and hear the word spiritually. So the Apostle Paul speaks like this: there is no one who can obtain the declaration of being sinless by the deeds of the law. Only the person who accepts into their heart Christ's baptism, received from John, and his shedding of blood as the truth of salvation, can become one saved from their own sins. Then, if we try to become sinless people by believing in Jesus, but become sinners again, it is because we have a wrong belief. Is Christ the one who made us become sinners? That is not so. Because even the sins we commit out of weakness, after believing in the Lord, were already taken away all at once by the baptism Jesus received when he was baptized by John. By ruminating on that fact again, we come to realize even more: the Lord has become my Savior. The purpose we believe in Jesus is to receive the removal of sins and to live as God's people. If we had to receive the removal of sins every day, there would be no need for Jesus Christ to be baptized by John, nor would there be a need for him to be crucified and shed blood. Because Jesus is the eternally living Savior. He is the one who came to give eternal salvation to those who believe in his ministry. Within eternal time, through the baptism he received from John, he had all our sins of the world passed over to him, was crucified and shed blood just once, died, and rose again, thereby eliminating the sins of all people eternally and at once. Whoever believes in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in their heart receives the removal of sins. It is Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. How did the Apostle Paul come to know his own sin? When he reflected himself before God's law, he came to know, "Ah, I am such a sinner." Through the law, he knew he was a sinner, and so he died toward the law. "Ah, I am a dead person. I am a person going to hell." Knowing that, by the faith that believes in the baptism the Lord received from John and the blood of the cross as our salvation, he came to receive the removal of sins in his heart. Today, we committed the sin of adultery in our hearts. Tomorrow, we broke the commandment not to covet. And the next day, we liked other things more than God. Among the 12 sins, there is not a single day left out. Humans are entirely sinners. Because of that, they go to hell without exception. Among those who do not believe in Jesus, there is not a single person who will not go to hell. Because they were born with sin, as beings who inherently do evil, they bear the fruits of sin. Some people actually kill people during their lifetime, and some people kill people countless times in their hearts. Looking at the history of Europe, there has not been a single day without war. Come to think of it, humanity has lived constantly killing each other from birth until now. In the midst of that, Jesus Christ came to this world, and to save humanity from the sins of the world, he was baptized by John, crucified, and shed blood to pay the price of our sins and give us salvation. Even if we cannot keep the law perfectly, even if we do not receive circumcision, even if we cannot live well according to the Word, by believing the fact that Jesus Christ washed away our sins with the baptism he received from John and the blood of the cross, we receive the removal of sins. If we believe in our hearts the baptism the Lord received from John and the blood of the cross as salvation, our sins disappear. We become righteous. We become those whose sins are washed clean. We become new creations. We become those who have obtained eternal life. And the Holy Spirit dwells in that heart. So even though one did not try to live righteously on one's own, being together with God's church, adding strength to the propagation of the gospel, and uniting becomes enjoyable, joyful, and happy. However, it does not become like that from the beginning. After being born again, as time passes, it becomes like that. Let us listen to the confession of faith of the Apostle Paul. That I might live to God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. Everyone, have you ever realized your sins through the words of the law, and realized before the law, I am a person who has committed sin. I am a dead person. Therefore, I am a person going to hell. Have you ever thought while being alive, if I die, I am going to hell? If God's judgment comes right today, an unborn-again person is going to hell right today. With that, everything ends. Therefore, it means the Apostle Paul believed centered on the Word of God. It is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Why is the Apostle Paul crucified? He was crucified by faith. The Apostle Paul believed that Jesus came to this earth, received baptism from John, went into the water, and came up, took away the sins of the world, was crucified, and died, saying, "It is finished," and resurrected from death to become our Savior now. When the Apostle Paul was Saul, he tried to catch and kill those who believed in Jesus. Hearing the news that there were many who believed in Jesus in the place where he lived when he was young, he received official letters from the high priest and received permission that it was okay to catch and kill them. Thus, while riding a horse with soldiers and approaching near Damascus, suddenly a blinding light shone from the sky and he fell down. He became blind and could not see ahead. At that time, a voice was heard. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, as if kicking against the goads?" Saul asked. "Who are you?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." At that time, Saul finally came to know. They said the one named Jesus really resurrected, and he is indeed alive. After that, he went to Ananias, opened his eyes, and became an evangelist of the gospel. That Apostle Paul is confessing that he himself also died with Christ by believing the word of the Lord. Because Jesus took charge of the sins of the world when he received baptism from John the Baptist, it means the Apostle Paul's own sins also passed over at that time. Your sins also passed over. The sins of people not yet born on this earth, the sins of people who lived in the past, the sins of all humanity from Alpha to Omega, that is, from the beginning to the end, passed over to Jesus all at once. And Jesus took the sins of the world, was crucified, and died. Jesus Christ himself taking charge of your sins and mine by the baptism he received from John and hanging on the cross was shedding his precious blood to receive the judgment for the sins of the world. Therefore, saying, "I have been crucified with Christ," means he united his heart with that fact and believed. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. When we believe in Jesus, we must turn our hearts back to the moment when Jesus came to this earth, received baptism from John the Baptist, took the sins of the world, and was crucified. And we must unite in our hearts and believe that because he took charge of my sins, he suffered all kinds of humiliation, was crucified, died saying, "It is finished," and resurrected from death. When you unite your heart and believe, it becomes salvation. Although Jesus is not visible to the eyes, all these things were accomplished about 2,000 years ago. Our hearts must return to that time, and we must believe that when he received baptism, your sins and mine passed over. And when Jesus took the sins of the world and was crucified, you and I were crucified and died together. We must make our faith our own by believing in Jesus Christ's baptism and shedding of blood on the cross. We must unite by faith with our hearts. We must believe in our hearts. That is the faith that believes in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. for us to set aside the Word of God and believe in the baptism and blood of Jesus Christ is not true faith. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. By faith, one is crucified with Christ, dies together, and lives again. The old me is dead, and if I now live, it is believing by identifying that Christ lives in me by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus who saved me with the gospel of the water, and the Spirit dwells in me and lets me live my remaining life. When you believe like that, you receive salvation. Therefore, the Apostle Paul is speaking like this, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. We must not despise the baptism and blood of Jesus, which become the righteousness of God. God's grace is received as a gift of salvation through the faith that believes in the baptism Jesus received from John and his blood. It is absolutely necessary for you and me. If we keep and hold on to that baptism and blood of Jesus Christ in our hearts, the soul that died with Jesus lives again. Turning our hearts back to that time about 2,000 years ago, we must participate with our hearts that when Jesus received baptism from John, our sins also passed over to his body. And we must participate together with our hearts that when he took the sins of the world and was crucified, he received the judgment of our sins. And also when Jesus Christ died and lived again, by participating in salvation with a believing heart, we obtain salvation. You must know that we are never trying to obtain salvation by keeping the law, and you must return into the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Everyone, today, many Christian believers try to be saved by their own good deeds because they have not received the removal of sins. They think, if I serve the gospel well, I will receive salvation. But that is of no use. Because we have already received salvation from our sins, we preach the gospel and serve the Lord with that faith. Among Christian believers, those who are excluding Jesus' baptism must turn back and believe. Because their own sins have never passed over to Jesus, they try to resolve the sins committed every day with prayers of repentance. However, prayers of repentance are also one of the legalistic faiths. Trying to obtain salvation through one's own good deeds all becomes sin. We do not obtain salvation by our good deeds, but by believing the fact that our sins were transferred by the baptism Jesus received from John, washing our sins, being killed on the cross together with Jesus Christ, participating in his resurrection by faith, and holding on to it by faith. Just as Christ lived again, we also live again. Therefore, we become those who obtain eternal salvation. Therefore, the Apostle Paul went to the Jerusalem Council and submitted this agenda. Must a person who believes in Jesus keep the law and receive circumcision to be recognized as a member within the church? Please discuss and decide this part. So Paul rebuked those who tried to keep the law in the flesh. If you, being a Jew, do not even live the life of a Jew, why do you act hypocritically to make those who are Gentiles live the life of a Jew? Everyone, if you hold on to the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that I preach today and believe it in your heart, you receive the removal of sins. When we believe in Jesus, we believe only to be saved because of our sins, and we must not believe for other purposes. If you believe for other purposes, it becomes a worldly religion. The Apostle John, after receiving the removal of sins in his heart, speaks like this, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. If we first pass over our sins, with the faith that believes in the ministry of Jesus Christ's baptism. Believe that the price of our sins was paid through the blood of Jesus' cross, and participate by faith in the Lord's resurrection, we receive salvation from all sins. Everyone, it does not end with merely knowing the gospel of the water and the Spirit. You must stand before God and God's Word with believing faith. God is not visible to the eyes, but you can believe God's Word. Standing before God's law, if you acknowledge that you are a person who cannot keep this law, you must accept that you yourself are a sinner. And on the premise that if you are a sinner, you go to hell, you must seek help from the Lord. Lord, please save me. When you call like that, the Lord says He washed away our sins with the baptism He received from John. That Jesus Christ received baptism from John to save you and me from the sins of the world, was crucified and shed blood, and resurrected from that death to become the one who saved us, who believe now, from all the sins of the world. What is the gospel of the water and the Spirit? It is content so deep and broad that it must be explained encompassing the Old and New Testaments. But today, for people who believe in Jesus, the word of the cross and the law have become mixed up. Saying that one must also keep the law and keep the Sabbath well, denominations like the Adventist Church and the Holiness Church emerged. God's church is a church that preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Everyone, if you are inside this church and hear this word but do not receive the removal of sins, you become a foolish person. Receiving salvation is this: I was born as a descendant of Adam. Therefore, I am a sinner. Because I inherited sin, I am a sinner. It is not that I commit sin because I want to, but because I was born with sin, I bear the fruits of sin. But Jesus came to save me from the sins of the world. Jesus came to save me with water and blood. When we believe in the ministry of Jesus' baptism and the ministry of shedding blood on the cross as the ministry for our sins, we become those who obtain salvation. If we acknowledge God's righteousness, acknowledge that we ourselves are sinners to receive the salvation God gave, and accept the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit into our hearts, it means we receive the removal of sins just by believing the righteous work Jesus did, that is, the work that saved us. A person who has not become a sinner before God does not attain salvation, even if they believe in Jesus as the Savior. If a perfectly fine person who is not sick goes to the hospital, they do not need a doctor. But if one goes to the hospital because they have a disease, they need a doctor, and the doctor treats them saying, "I will cure your disease." Jesus Himself also spoke, "A person who does not need me does not need to come to me. A person who is not a sinner themselves does not need to come. But if you know you are a sinner before me, and deeply feel in your heart that you could not keep even one of my commandments, come before me. I will eliminate your sins as much as you want. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It means He will let you rest comfortably. The Lord is the King of Kings. Believing in Jesus is not that difficult when you come to know it. It is just because it is complicatedly tangled in the middle, but receive the removal of sins by faith. And after that, entrust your life before the Lord and try receiving the Lord's guidance. Then the Lord will guide your future and open the way for you. Through the Lord's word supplied according to the time and the blessings bestowed both spiritually and physically, you will live a life 100, 1,000, 10,000 times better than a person who labors their whole life by their own strength trying to succeed. It means you receive salvation just by believing. The Lord has become your Savior and mine. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is your Savior and mine, your God and mine, your Shepherd and mine. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. It means He saved us to fill us abundantly. He is not one who only saves and ends it with that. The Lord spoke like this: "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He promised that even after we receive salvation, the Lord will take responsibility for our lives. He told us to seek the Father's will first, and to do the work that pleases the Father first. Although we are lacking, if we only act by faith, our future is guaranteed. I have lived like that until now. I lived holding on to God's word by faith, and I lived believing that God fights for me without fighting with my own temper. I hope you also live like that. Everyone, is there anything you are anxious about in your heart? Is there anything that does not work out, no matter how much you try on your own? Believe in God. Believe in Jesus Christ. He is your God, your Savior, and your Shepherd. When you follow Him by faith, when you hold on to the Word, and move forward together with the church, He will accomplish all the things He ought to do for you. I conclude the message.